97.5 The Fanatic.
That's not true.
It's ridiculous.
Oh my God.
Oh, Anthony off today. It is Jason Mertedis at the announcer's desk on 97.5 The Fanatic here on the 12th day of the month of August, the year 2020. The day the journey truly begins. The return of sports is now well underway. And in a lot of ways, it's been extremely exciting. In some ways, extremely frustrating. Other ways, left scratching your head. But the journey begins today for the Philadelphia Flyers and the quest for something that has not found its rightful place back in Philadelphia for 45 years, despite the fact that the team has gone to the finals six times since winning the cup. And now an opportunity in a very unique situation for the Flyers. So much to talk about today, Andrew. I'm so excited to be here today because, you know, I love hockey. What happened yesterday in a 6.5 hour game, the fourth longest game in NHL history, five overtimes, and it takes us back to 2000 and the Flyers' five overtime win against the Pittsburgh Penguins and Keith Primo, who you heard this morning on the morning show talking about that. Of course, he scored the game-winning goal. But I want to talk to people today about how excited you are, because the playoffs in sports are the best. The regular seasons are great because we get game in and game out and we learn the identity, the makeup. You go into the playoffs a lot of times knowing what you have or feeling like you know what you have. And there's other times you go into the playoffs and you still got a lot of questions that need to be answered, like the Sixers do at this point, and injuries that they're dealing with, unfortunately. But right now we're heading into the playoffs for the Flyers. They have the second best odds according to Vegas, and that doesn't mean a thing. That is no guarantee. And if we saw anything in the best of five play-in round for the NHL, is that anything can happen in this very unique circumstances of teams in a bubble, in hub cities in Toronto and Edmonton. And we see that upsets always happen in the Stanley Cup playoffs. It's round one. They always happen. Last year, the Lightning got swept. They were the best team in the regular season by miles. And they got swept by an 8 seed in Columbus last year. Then they went five overtimes last night in game one of the rematch. But this time, Tampa came out on top. But there's something about the playoffs and a team that you feel like can go on a run that gets you even more excited. Now, when it comes to the Sixers, people feel like they're just going to get bounced because of the coach, because the players are either injured or they haven't proven it yet. And there's a lot of players on this Flyers team that haven't proven it yet. A lot. There's a lot to still learn. I heard Mark talking about it. Who's going to be the Danny Briere for the Flyers? Is it going to be Travis Konecny? Who's going to be the Ville Leino of 2010? Who is that guy? Is that going to be a JVR? Or is that going to be a Joel Farabee? Or who is it going to be? We don't know those answers just yet. But what we feel like we know is this team is so deep that they have the chemistry, the makings, and the leadership and the coaching to do something special. So, Flyer fans, today's your day. This is for you today. As luck would have it, you got me. So, I want to talk about this. And part of talking about this game tonight is also expunging what's happened in the past. Now, way back when the Eagles went back and went on that Super Bowl run, and I was working with Harry, we did a vision board type thing. And what we did is we talked about the great moments in Eagle history to bring good vibes. But what we also did was we brought in the Bagster and we expunged all of the heartbreak moments, all of the bad things. We got rid of all of it. I always liken it to Quint in Jaws when he's telling the story about the USS Indianapolis. 1,100 men went into the water that day. 316 men came out. The Sharks took the rest. And they're telling the stories and they're pulling up their shirt and going, this is a 14-foot tiger. That scar. Well, that's Patrick Kane. We have the scars from over the years. But we got to expunge them. We got to put them in the bag. So we got to get rid of them, get them out of our mind for this run and focus on positivity and doing great things and the vision of what could be. Now, this is very unique because you're in a situation where if any team were to win it right now, there's no parade. And that sucks. There is none of that right now. That's just not in the cards and probably won't be by early October. But you still get the glory of winning it and the enjoyment of the process, the battle of it. And thank goodness the Flyers never listened to the people that said that they should do what the Sixers did and tank, because that was not the way to go in that league. And you see where they are now, and they are a team that can do some real damage. Now, there's a lot of young players on the Flyers team. And I want to ask you this, Andrew, and I want to ask everybody this. Who's going to be the guy? Who's going to be the man? Who is going to, on the biggest stage in playoffs and sports, is going to step up and be the difference between being a team that is dangerous and a team that can go all the way? What is the X factor? Who is the X factor that's going to be the difference this time? Because as I mentioned right off the top, after winning back-to-back cups in 74 and 75, Flyers have gone to the cup final six times. I have not found a comparable in sports where you've gone to a final six times and every time you got beat, you got knocked out by a dynasty. 76, they lost to Montreal, who won four straight cups. 1980, they lost to the Islanders, who won four straight cups. In 1985 and 87, they lost to the Oilers, who won five cups in 7 years. 97, they lost to Detroit, won three cups with that core. And then in 2010, they lost to the Blackhawks, who won three cups in 5 years. That is a total of five different opponents and 20 cups with those cores. Who's going to be the guy that's going to overcome that? Who's going to be the man? Who's going to be the guy that grabs it this time and takes you to that other level that you need? You need players to go to that level if you want to win. Nick Foles went to that level. Cole Hamels went to that level. And Ryan Howard. Other players, too. It takes more than one. But who's going to be the guys that, if they're going to end the 45-year drought, are going to be the ones that you go, that guy elevated his play? Andrew, who's the first guy that comes to mind that needs to elevate his play and be not a good player, but great?
Yeah, I mean, outside of the goaltender, because that's obviously the first thing that comes to mind. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go with the man who's been kind of quiet in the round robin so far, except for the second game he had two assists against the Caps. It's Travis Konechny.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's a guy, obviously, we know the stuff that he does on the ice outside of his play, right? He's the guy that barks at the other team and gets in their brains and stuff like that. But I want to see, and not that he's played poorly in the round robin tournament.
His line has been phenomenal.
Yeah, I mean, they've been great. But, like, I want to see him really take that next step, because we saw him take that next step in the regular season, especially when they went on that run. When they went 9-1 in their last 10 games before the stoppage of play, he was playing at a totally unreal level.
Yeah, it was an all-star for him this year.
Exactly. Yep. So I want to see him get back to that. You know, we had Bouchon on the other day, and he was saying how, you know, maybe some guys weren't taking it really intensely in the round robin tournament because there's no implications if you lost. Like, you could fall to the four seed, but you weren't getting eliminated from playoff contention.
Yeah, you weren't playing for your playoff life.
Exactly. Now, it looked like the Flyers were the team that went out there and played, and because they found the way that they could move up from 4-1, they did that. But a guy like Travis Konechny, when it really matters, I'm looking forward to seeing him just put his foot in the gas pedal and really, really go out there on the ice and not just get in their minds, but also, you know, put up some points. Let's see you score some goals. And obviously the assist totals was great against the Caps, but I want to see TK be the all-starter in the playoffs.
Wow,
too.
Okay, that's a great one. That's a young player that, if he's able to do that, and he's one of those guys on the playoff stage, on the biggest stage, the most important time in sports, to elevate his game. I think he's absolutely capable of it, and I think another part of that is because of the line that he plays with. And Kevin Hayes and Scott Laughton, they were phenomenal. 13 points in the three games. So that's a great one. Travis Konechny is a great one.
I think part of me also thinks, like, I feel like Claude Giroux is going to have a great playoff, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I think Kevin Hayes is going to have a great playoff. So it's the guy that has been kind of quiet through these first three games that I want to take that next step.
Yeah.
I mean, let's face it. You just mentioned the points they had on that line with Hayes and Law, and they were playing great, and Claw's been playing well. So let me see TK take that next step. And if you could have three players on a line playing at an elite level, let's go.
Yeah, well, the top line with Couturier, Drew, and Voracek, and Voracek will be a game-time decision if it's not announced yet. That line needs to get going, too.
Yep.
And I don't know what the recipe is upon this return of the guys that are having success, or you know why some guys are going to get off to a better start than others in the round robin. Maybe the veteran players like Drew, Voracek, and Couturier, they don't have the same urgency. Young players just go out and play, right?
Yeah.
That's what they do. It's just they're just young guys. They just go out and they bust it, and maybe that's why those guys had more success in three games in the round robin over the top line who didn't score. Voracek had an assist, but and Farabee had a goal, but when he was in for Voracek. But all said and done, that top line's got to contribute. They got to be good.
Oh, yeah.
You got an opportunity now. You have all these years of playoff disappointment from 2012 till now, with no playoff series wins, with Drew and Voracek. This is the time where they got to sense the opportunity that it's not A, it's not all on us, and B, we have an opportunity that we haven't had because we have depth, because we have more talent, because we have a strong decor with Provorov, Niskanen, and Sanheim, and Myers, and on down the line, Braun. And I mean, you can go into Ghost if he's in the lineup, or Robert Haig. You could go, and then obviously the goaltender. And the biggest takeaway I had from the three round robin games was the goaltender. And it's not the numbers, not the fact that he only gave up two goals in two games. It's not the 34 saves on 35 shots against the Bruins. It was the manner in which he looked in doing it. The dude's heart rate never went over 70 beats per minute.
Especially in the first period of the Bruins game and then in the Lightning game. And you saw what happened.
Stops Kucherov on a breakaway.
Yeah, there's two breakaways and he makes a stop on in the first period.
Yep, and I talked to guys since then for Flyers Daily. And I asked him about that. When he makes that save on Kucherov, one of the most skilled players on the planet, if not the most skilled, other than Connor McDavid, that elevated, as soon as that happened,
oh yeah,
they had jumped. As soon as it happened. And that provides team with the ability to know, we got that guy back there. And if that guy's back there, we're good. We don't have to worry about if we make a mistake, he'll bail us out. And he looks so calm and so collected. And I have to stop saying for a 21-year-old, because I think it's a disservice to him. He's just calm and collected for an elite goaltender in the NHL. And this could be the coming out party nationally for Carter Hart, for those that don't know how good he is. Same thing with Provorov, same thing with Konechny.
I need to see him make 85 saves in a game first. So.
Well, that was unreal.
Come on, man.
That's the good. That's what's coming today. And again, I want to celebrate and get pumped up for this game tonight. I want to hear people's predictions on this series. I want to hear people get fired up. And I also want to expunge some of the pain that's been in our past, so we can get rid of it before the puck drops tonight, presumably at 8 o'clock. Presumably, I say, because hopefully none of these games go into five overtimes and push their time.
At least we got 11 a.m. hockey today.
Yeah,
I'm in on that.
Like it did the Bruins and the Canes. So here's the number. And Flyer fans, look, I know you've gotten shortchanged. Believe me, I know. And as a guy that's flown the flag, I've gotten ridiculed for doing it. On these very airwaves, damn it.
No, you...
So, you know what? Let's celebrate what's about to start today. Because this is awesome. This is fun. You're going in, and you got a shot. Look, you can't go on a run until you win the first series. And that's what's in front of us. That the players have to think that way. We don't need to think that way right now. We can look at the big picture before a series starts. So let's do it. 610-632-0975. I got to get into the Phillies at some point, too, because, Andrew, help me, please.
Yeah.
The Flyers are a saving grace right now.
My update today is just statistics in the Phillies bullpen. I hope I can say
what's their
it
ERA?
Enough.
9.87 or something?
No, 10.19.
Oh, okay.
As a team, and you have, hold on, let me see this here. Where am I? 8 members in the bullpen have an ERA of 8 or higher right now.
Oh, my goodness.
Sorry, six, because two of them got put down to the minors, but I'm going to count them. Eight members of a bullpen
that have appeared.
Yep. That Matt Klentak thought, like, these were guys. Like, these, oh, yeah, this is going to be a guy that helps us out this year. Unbelievable.
I would say pull an arm out of the crowd, only there's no crowds.
Yeah.
You'd be better off. It is amazing. 610-632-0975. Let's get pumped up, everybody. I know the Flyers put out a hype video today. This is your audio version. This should be the audio version on these airwaves today, equal to a hype video. And we're going to send the recording to the team.
Okay. All right? Sounds good. All right. Oh, and by the way, in case you've missed it, I like the Voracek song.
The Voracek song?
The locker room song that they play after they win.
Oh.
So I will play it throughout the day.
Okay. I asked that to a player. Somebody on Twitter hit me up and said, can you find, what's the song called? I forget.
Two Times by Ann Lee.
Yeah. Horrible.
I love it.
Do you?
Yeah, it's just completely grown on me.
Okay. Well, somebody asked me to ask a player next time I have them on if they're still playing it. So I think it was Phil Myers that I asked, and he said, yep, we're still playing it after every win.
Of course.
So hopefully that song gets 16 more spins.
Damn right. I'm going to put this at number one on the chart.
16 more two times, and boom. You're going down Broad Street. An empty Broad Street. Let's go to CD Dan. Starts us off on the Fanatic. Hey, CD Dan.
Yo, what's going on, Jack?
What's up, buddy?
Not much, but I actually owe you an apology because I was one of the guys that I couldn't see me getting in the sports for turning at all. And, you know, you did a whole show of, like, just try to keep the mindset on enjoy the sports and worry about the other things outside it. Dude, I can't express to you how awesome last night was. It felt like just normal time. It really did, dude. It was intense.
Because you escaped into a game, Dan, right? You fell into a game and escaped into it.
Dude, it wasn't even a Philadelphia game. It was awesome. And did it look like to you that they got tired at all out?
No, I was stunned. The level of play never dropped off in six and a half hours of busting it and spilling it.
You're talking about the first night. I got chills from that, man. And you have some of the, in my opinion, you have some of the best announcing in hockey on TV. So it just it didn't miss a beat at all. And it kind of goes to speak for the whole NHL and even the Flyers themselves. Is I think they brought a sense of normalcy better than any sport. Basketball has done a good job with it. The Sixers are the Sixers, so there's a lot of turmoil. But when you look at the Flyers, dude, there's not many complaints. You haven't heard stories of players going out or doing this in the league. And I brought it up yesterday that I think this Flyers team has a 2017 Philadelphia Eagles, like the depth. There's no real outlining star. Maybe Carter Hart, you could say. But I just feel like it's a... And they got a lot of depth, man. And I think they're extremely dangerous, Jay. Yeah. I really do.
Yeah, that's the thing.
I think they believe in themselves, dude. I think they're really starting to believe in themselves.
Well, that coach, too. Thanks, Danny. That coach has them believing. He's done a tremendous job. Alain Vigneault has been unbelievable for this team with the accountability that he's brought in. He sat JVR because he didn't like the way he played that first game against Boston in the round robin. And he scratched him. And it was because of his poor play. I mean, JVR didn't need to shower after the Boston game. And the coach knew it. So he put him on the pine. So that accountability didn't end when the pause ended. And the team knows they got to come back and they got to be really good. Because if you want to accomplish what they're trying to accomplish, and Vigneault's been to a final twice, everybody's got to be pulling on the rope as hard as they can in the same direction. I know it's a cliche, but it's true. You see what it takes to win in those playoffs? What those guys are willing to do to try to get that trophy? And they'll do everything in their power to get it. And Montreal's going to be a team that feels a lot different than they did when the pause happened after beating the Penguins in four. I think that was more of an indictment on the Penguins than it was necessarily that Montreal's great, because I don't think Montreal's great. And I think the Flyers will handle them. I think the Penguins look really old and disinterested, which is a whole other story. 610-632-0975. Everybody on hold. Hang on. We're going to get to everybody today because this is the radio version of a hype video. And I want people to get pumped up. Is there anything better in sports than playoff hockey and good, sudden death overtime.
A good bullpen.
But, like, you look for the great things in sports. And, like, Mike Milbury last night was advocating to go to 4-on-4 or 3-on-3 or a shootout in playoff hockey as opposed to multiple. Because he became disinterested because he was missing his dinner. It's one of the greatest things in sports. The first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs may be the best round in all of sports. It is chaos. 610-632-0975. Quick timeout. Back to the phones after this on The Fanatic.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Former Flyer Danny Briere joins us right now on the Comcast Business Highline. Danny, how you doing, man?
Hey, Jason.
Man, what a day, right? It's all going to start today. I know that you probably loved game, you know, the first day of a playoff journey. What's this day like as a guy who played in, you know, over 100 playoff games for a player like you?
Well, I mean, it's the best day. It started yesterday. I'll be honest with you. I sat around for about 6.5 hours watching that game between Tampa and Columbus yesterday. So that was awesome. But today is the Flyers day. I'm even more excited about that. As a player, the first day of the playoffs, like when you play your first game, the whole day, it's tough to contain yourself. And that's one of the things that I got better at, when you hear about experience and the players that have experience and it comes into play in the playoffs, a big thing is being able to control your energy throughout the day, because it's really easy to come at night and be completely gassed just from the anxiety of your first playoff game. And that's what I got better at as I got older and I got more experience, because there's nothing like it. And it's exciting. The guys are fired up. They want to do well. They can't wait to jump on the ice. But you have to be able to control yourself all day long.
You don't want to play the game before the game, because then you get on the ice and you got dead legs and you're going, why do I have no energy now?
You're exactly right. And it's happened to me early in my career. It's happened to me at World Championships. And then I realized that during the day I had to do some boring things. So I had to grab a book and start reading and get my mind off of the game, because, like you said, I would play the game before the game started.
Danny, what would it be like for a team that was in the situation that the Bruins and the Canadiens were in last night? They had their first game. It was a night game. They're waiting all day for it. And then it gets pushed to the next morning because, as you alluded to, that Lightning game against the Columbus Blue Jackets went 6.5 hours. How's that for a player to deal with? Wow.
Well, I'm sure it's not ideal. I'm sure the players were not too happy about that. But at the same time, I mean, we're in a different world now. Things change. You have to be able to adapt. I mean, we talk about how things are changing on a daily basis with this pandemic, and it's kind of what the players are dealing with at this time. You have to be able to adjust, and the players that will adjust the best we'll have a better chance at success. It's really easy to sit there and pout and complain, but at the end of the day, you can't control that. It's out of your control. You have to find a way to get ready. And I'm sure playing at 11 this morning wasn't ideal and the players didn't like it, but it's the players that will adapt the fastest, the quickest, that will have the most success.
Yeah, the thing I always say in coaching young kids is control the controllable. That's all you can do. No sense getting caught up what you can't control. Danny, how would it have been for you dealing with the round robin games? Because the Flyers were in a position where they couldn't move down as the 4 seed but could only move up. And a team like Boston, obviously, who was the best regular season team, could only move down. They had everything to lose and nothing to gain, and they ended up losing it. But how would you have approached those games, and what would your intensity level have been like as a player for those games?
It's tough to reproduce. The players are not stupid. It's tough to reproduce the intensity of a playoff game. So you have to understand, and I think that's where Alain Vigneault was really good at. He never came out and said, we have to win those games. We're going to treat these games as play. He's smart enough. He's seen enough over his coaching career that he knew the intensity would not quite be the same. You know, they came in with the attitude of, you know what, we have nothing to lose. We're the fourth seed coming in, so whatever we get is going to be gravy. And then you saw the Flyers play so well that they earned the first spot. So it was a huge advantage. I thought it was done really well by Alain Vigneault. Now, the part that scares me a little bit more is all those teams that had the byes in the first round are playing teams that have played 3 to 5 competitive playoff intensity games, and that's tough to match up. We saw it with, I think it was Dallas last night, had a little bit of a problem adjusting early on to that. You know, Columbus, I thought, played a very strong game, and then Tampa was able to match it. But it's tough to turn that switch on quickly, and that's what the Flyers have to guard against tonight versus Montreal.
And Montreal comes in having beaten the Penguins in 4. But what was it about that series with Montreal that impressed you, other than the obvious of Carey Price? They went out and earned it, full value. They outskated the Penguins. I thought it was more of an indictment on the Pens, though, looking like a team that seemed a little disinterested, yep, had no urgency. But Montreal, what impressed you about that round with them?
Well, we can't take Montreal lightly. They're a quick, fast team that takes time and space away from your players. And especially a team like Pittsburgh, who rely on creating time and space for guys like Crosby and Malkin, Montreal completely took that away. You're right when you mentioned, you know, Carey Price. I was very impressed with Petrie and Weber on defense. They did really well. You know, but the focus was on stopping Crosby and Malkin. That's why it becomes so tough for Montreal. The Flyers, they don't really have just one line that you can focus on. We saw it in those last few games. The second and third line were the most damaging to the opposition. So the Flyers have depth that Pittsburgh did have. They also have depth on defense, and they have a much better goalie. I'm not saying Carter Hart is quite at the level of Carey Price yet, but he's much better than what the Penguins have. And that's why it gives me so much confidence that the Flyers will be able to win this round. Like I said, it's not going to be easy. I think it's going to be a tough round, very frustrating, because Montreal has a lot of speed and they'll take a lot of time and space away from the players.
Danny Briere joining us on the Comcast Business Highline. Danny, you've played against Carey Price for a number of years. You were his teammate. You know the work ethic that he brings to practices, the way he prepares for games, both physically and mentally. And his reputation is well-earned as an elite goalie and perhaps the best goalie of his generation. Can that get into an offensive player's mind a little bit, thinking that, well, he's so good and, you know, he gives you things, but he's always going to take it away, that you want to be more precise in your shooting or try that extra pass because he's the guy that's in net and maybe force you either to shoot wide or try that extra pass that doesn't work?
Yeah, I mean, it can always happen. But I'm sure for the Flyers, Carey Price is not going to be the focus. They're going to say, you know what, we have to shoot and put as many pucks on him as possible. Get him tired, get him moving as much as we can to make it difficult on him. At the end of the day, he might steal a game or two for them, but he cannot become the excuse. The more pucks you throw at him, at some point, you know, you play the odds, right? It's going to work in your favor. The Flyers have the better team overall. Like I said, more depth. Their third and fourth line is deeper than Montreal. I think their second and third pairing on defense, they're really tough to match up with. So that's where they have to take advantage of that depth.
Danny, the top line in the round-robin games of Couturier, Giroux, and Jake Voracek for 2 of those games went pointless. They're veteran players north of 30. Maybe that it's harder for veteran players to get up for those round-robin games than the young guys just go out and play. They got to be guys that contribute, and the power play also went 0-for. What do those guys need to do to get going? Because they got to be a big part of this as well.
Yeah, and you know what? The fact, I go back to the odds, right? I always believe that if I had a game or two that I didn't score, every time my odds went up, that next game I would score. That's the kind of the way I see it with that top line, Giroux, Kucherov, and Voracek. These guys are too good to be silent for long. So I think it's looking good for the Flyers. I think these guys will step up. And like you mentioned, it's not easy sometimes to get up for regular season games. These guys have seen a lot. They've played in a lot of playoff games. They have a lot of experience that way. So I actually think it looks good for the Flyers that these guys have not started producing yet.
Danny, Alain Vigneault, and you've gotten to know him as well and seen the work that he's not only done at other places prior to getting to Philadelphia, but the work that he's done with this Flyers team. What's impressed you most about Alain Vigneault and that coaching staff that's done a tremendous job?
I mean, I've been so impressed with this coaching staff, starting with Alain Vigneault. He's seen a lot. He's been through a lot. It's the swagger that he brings. And, you know, we talk about a lot of players playing with more swagger. I think it starts with him. He's confident. There's no gray areas with him. When he talks to the players, and I've seen him speak up, I've seen him put his game plan into place and the system that he wants the players to play, there's no gray area. There's nobody that's in between. You know exactly what you have to do. You know exactly what your role is on the team. That's what's impressed me. And the players are all responding to him. And I think it's a lot easier when you have the experience. If you've been to a few Stanley Cup finals and when you're one of the highest winningest coach in the NHL, it's a lot easier to do that than a rookie coach. But those are the traits that have really impressed me with Alain Vigneault.
Danny, he's managed to do something that's very difficult, and that's be able to show young players and tell older players, be a guy that can be the really strict kind of hard-ass guy, but also be the guy that can be a player's coach in a lot of ways. Is that all coming from his ability to communicate?
Definitely. His ability to communicate. Also the fact that, you know, you look at where he's coached, and we all know that, you know, Philly is not an easy market to coach in. You know, fans are passionate and they're demanding. But Alain Vigneault has been in Montreal. He's been in with the Vancouver Canucks, and he's been with the Rangers before in New York. Three just as tough markets. So for him to being able to handle this market, I think helped him out a lot. And you're right. Like, I've been impressed how he's been able to get the veterans and the rookies all on board and buy into what he's selling. And that's why it's been working this season.
Danny, last thing for you. Come playoff time, you elevated your game to not a higher level, but an elite level. And that's why with the Flyers in those games, well over a point per game. What is it that allowed you to do that? What was it in your makeup that when the lights were the brightest, the games meant the most, that you were able to bring your game to the next level and execute and have the success that you had?
I mean, I don't have it's not an exact science. I don't have a great answer. I mean, I love this time of the year, I believe. Also, I was fortunate to get into some playoff games early on in my career that gave me the experience to better prepare for those games. But I always believe that I was meant to be the difference maker. I went into every game thinking that this was my time. I believed I was going to make the difference, and that's why I was playing hockey. So I don't know how else to explain it. It worked for me. And like I said, it was the best time of the year.
Well, do me a favor. Figure out how to explain it and meet with some guys.
I wish I had a clear recipe.
Go to Hotel X and break it down. Danny, I know you'll be watching tonight. I know you'll be along for the ride, and we appreciate you doing this. And it could be a lot of fun, man. It all starts tonight, and the journey is going to get underway, and it's going to be a lot of fun here in Philly.
Oh, it's the best time of the year, and we get to watch playoff hockey in August. I'm ecstatic about that.
So absolutely.
I'm enjoying it.
All right, thanks, man. I'll talk to you soon.
See you, Jason.
There he is, Danny Briere on the Comcast Business Hotline.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.